Morning, everyone. Welcome here. I actually have a song I'd like to begin with. Let me turn to number 807. I know this isn't the familiar tune, but I'd like to sing it to the familiar tune. If you're looking for the tune, that's 999A. But I'd like to sing all the verses of number 807. Peace, perfect peace. Miss Dan for this again.
Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispered peace within. Peace, perfect peace by thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrow surging round on Jesus' bosom, not but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and He is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. It is enough, earth's troubles shall cease. And Jesus call us to ever at
be seated. Thank you. It is so good to be here this morning and to be together like this again. You know, we do it every week and sometimes in between, and it is so good, but something that I know I take for granted, and I don't know if I can put it into words exactly what I feel, but to be part of a body that has the same goals, prays together, sings together, rejoices together, hurts together, share together in Christ whatever we may face, doing life together with God. So it's a privilege and a real blessing to have you as part of my life. I don't know how often you stop and think about your life and weigh the grief or weigh the pain that you may have experienced or are experiencing. We also should consider the blessings too, for sure. But it is inevitable since the fall of man there in the garden, that sin and evil, hardships, pain, turmoil will be something that we face. We live in a sin-cursed world. In Genesis, it details the fall of humanity and describes the painful toil of mankind all their days. God drove man out of the garden because of sin. In John 16, Jesus says that in this world, you will have trouble. In Acts, it says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Job said, man is born to trouble, surely as sparks fly upward. And there are countless other verses and instances in the Bible that speak of facing fiery trials and so on. An elderly friend of mine that I visit with from time to time tells me often that life is full of hardships. And that in a lot of ways, those hurts, those hard things, disappointments, and you could just name yours in your mind, and not to dwell on them necessarily, but there are parts of them that never totally disappear. That sounds like doom and gloom, doesn't it? The part that he tells me more often, though, or just as often, is that God is his friend. If God was not there to carry him through the difficult times, life would be hopeless. Even as difficult things add up over the years, for example, the older we get, the more pain and suffering we have experienced. And maybe even the older we get, the more frequent those things happen. But it's not the same for everyone either. But hardships will happen. Perhaps it isn't even exactly what we experience ourselves, but we observe, hear about, and what we witness with our own eyes. I think it would be fair to say that we are hurting this morning. We all have hurts. Some of you hurt more than can be explained. Some hurts are similar. Some are varied. Some are seemingly one of a kind. Some are old. Some are blistering and raw. This morning, I want to encourage you. I really do. But the more I thought about this and study from God's word, the more I realize that I want God to encourage you. I want God to do his work. I want God to be a part of your life. I want God to be a part of my life. God is the one that will make a difference. And the more we allow him to be a part of our life, the more we will find the grace for every trial and peace in every storm. So Jesus is the answer. There were different titles I put for this sermon as I studied. One was, Jesus is the answer, and another was, Peace in the Storm. Some other ideas as well, but I decided to go with Peace on the Sea. And maybe you will understand the reason I went with that as we progress through this study. And I'm sure also your mind goes to a Bible story. You may turn to Mark 4. The story of Jesus and the disciples when they were out on the sea and caught in the storm. Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. Let's read those verses. Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? All right, so those verses there, we'll notice, and the same day, and also it says when even was come. It seems like it could have been a long day for the disciples. Jesus had been teaching parables by the seaside. We don't know for sure how they were feeling, but we could assume that they were feeling like we do after a long day of intensity. Tired and not really in the mind frame to take on anything more. Just done, sometimes we say. We use the term when it rains, it pours, or it all comes at once. That is how a crisis feels in our life. Perhaps one thing after another, when we already feel like we are at the end of ourselves for strength, when even was come, when we like to catch our breath and rest and take in what God already has been teaching us. Does it really need to get any darker? We do not understand the ways of God, but his ways are higher than our ways. His ways are perfect. Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It just might be at even when we are reaching the end of ourselves that Jesus will say, it's time. Let us pass over onto the other side. And we, not knowing, could be about to face some of the hardest and most fearful moments of our life. We see Jesus' humanity in these verses as well. After a long day, he was tired too. Remember, this setting started out by Jesus teaching in parables by the seashore. The crowd became large, and in order for things to work better and to be more effective, he went out a bit in a boat on the water and taught from there. And something I never noticed before when reading this story, and probably not all the books with this story have exactly the same detail, but it says that they took Jesus as he was. Which verse is that again? They took a verse 36. And when they had sent him away, the multitude, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. I don't know if it's necessarily a real significant detail, but something the disciples were apparently helping the people get on their way, sending them home. And Jesus here, it appears, already laid down to rest in the ship. So when the disciples set out across the sea, Jesus was already fast asleep. We know the story well, and we've refreshed it again in our minds as we read the passage, how a great storm arose and the disciples feared for their lives. The waves were huge and the ship was taking on water, and yet Jesus was still sleeping. And I just said how this showed Jesus' humanity, but it also shows who Jesus really is. He's at peace because he, as God, is in control. He could rest and be assured that everything was going to be okay long before the incident even happened. Carest thou not that we perish? We probably haven't ever said it ourselves like that in those words before, but we have cried out to God. Why, Lord? Don't you understand? Where are you? How can you not see what we are facing? Don't you see the troubles we are in? Why don't you do something about it? Don't you care? Can't you see our friends are hurting? Can't you see innocent people suffering? I wonder how long it actually was before the disciples frantically came to Jesus. We could use our imagination a little and compare it with our own lives. Often for me, I just expect Jesus to be here by my side, within reach for when I need him. And he will prevent difficult things from happening because he's my friend. Shouldn't be anything too bad. I live a good life. But then if something does happen, and it will because it's life, things get unbearable. And that's when I cry out to him. Last call instead of first call. We forget to communicate with him. Perhaps we think things will pass over soon and be better by tomorrow. Maybe we got this. We put all of our expertise, experience, and training to work. Maybe we even rely on our brothers and sisters, and don't take that the wrong way, please, because that is important. We are in this together, but we can't do it without God. Frantically, bailing water keeps us at one spot. We get nowhere. We may still have a sea to cross, but do we really have to have such a tumultuous storm to deal with if we'd only call on Jesus sooner? I suppose some of my thinking here is that with Jesus at the helm, life is a sea, but it is crossable. Storms and difficulties will arise, more than we can bear on our own. But Jesus can give true peace. He will call out, "Peace, be still." The crises can be unimaginable, but there can still be a pure peace that only God can give. I've heard testimonies of people who have put me to shame in dealing with crises, going through the most difficult times of their life, and yet in their hearts, they have utter peace. That's Jesus. With you and me out on the sea, do we allow Jesus to calm the storm? Jesus truly can make the difference in your life and in my life. Jesus asked the question, why are ye so fearful? The disciples must have been like, can't you see? Same for us. When we are in the middle of the storm, our focus tends to shift. And instead of seeing the peace of Jesus, we see the pain, the sorrow, the fear, and the devastation, the what ifs. We sing that song sometimes of try love, try prayer, try God. I think Brother Dale talked about that last Sunday as well. It's a beautiful song. And if we think of just trying God to see what happens, we're not really taking a step of faith. But we are human, so often it is when we have tried everything else and we finally reach rock bottom, then we reach out to Jesus. But we can be assured that Jesus will be there when we come to the end of ourselves. He will listen. He will have answers in his time. But most assuredly, he will guarantee peace in our hearts when we reach out to him in full dependence and faith. But we cannot have reservation. Weaken the faith. Take the first step. God will not disappoint. He will give peace as we surrender it all to him. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Nothing is too big for God. Continuing on now, not so much with the story, but more directly relating to the peace of God. There are many scripture verses, and I want to read some of those. I have them written down, so you don't necessarily have to turn there. You may try to keep up if you wish. Near the beginning, I read a verse that Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But actually, I should say that was only part of the verse, and you probably picked up on that. It goes like this, John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We are on the sea, and there will be storms, but we still have the promise of peace through Jesus. He wants us to have peace. That is why he came to this world, to bring peace. In the Old Testament, we have prophecies of Jesus coming to bring peace. Micah 5, 4 and 5, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth, and this man shall be the peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. More verses with the promises of peace, actually quite a few. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 54, verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Isaiah 55, verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isaiah 54, 10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 11, 28, 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 2 Thessalonians 3, 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. And Psalm 29, 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. We likely have memorized numerous verses in the Bible in relation to peace, verses that we go to when we are in distress. If you're like me, though, and looking for a peaceful read, where's the first place you would turn to? Maybe not the same as I am, but Psalms probably, right? I'd like to read Psalm 34 yet. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto the cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. In this psalm, and in various other verses that we read, there is a common thread. It's the peace of God. It's a different kind of peace. You know, the world promises peace, but it's not true peace. It's not just that going to a quiet place and, well, the ways of the world, or communicating with your inner self, having yoga or whatever. But it's like 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. All of us have been to peaceful places. We've experienced peaceful things. And they are wonderful experiences. But God's peace is deeper than the experience at the lake or the peaceful sunset. God wants those places to be peaceful and a meaningful experience. But the peace of God, as one verse we read indicates, a supernatural inner calm provided by God that transcends human logic or situational circumstances. So no matter what situation we find ourselves in, the peace of God will exceed and surpass any of those. Inexplainable aside from the grace of God. How do we receive the peace of God? Well, we must come to the end of ourselves and cast ourselves at the foot of the cross. We talked about it in Sunday school. Peace of God is a changed heart. No matter where we find ourselves in life, whether we have, whether it's a struggle of our heart in relation to surrender to God, or whether we have hurt someone, or someone has hurt us, or put it simply, peace is broken. We need the peace of God. We may look at someone who has no peace because of wrong choices they made, and we know exactly what they need to do to find peace. Surrender to God, right? Maybe we are in that spot ourselves, or maybe we have been hurt deeply by someone else, and we have lost our peace because of that. See what I'm saying here, or what God has been saying, when he invites us all to experience peace? We must all come to the end of ourselves and let God calm the storm. Give it to Jesus. He longs to give you peace. It's the same brokenness and letting God. There's a poem, or also a song, and you may be familiar with it. It's written from the perspective of one of the disciples, Peter. I want to read it as it captures the beauty from crises, fear, and defeat to a wonderful peace and unconditional surrender to Christ. I think also it kind of ties the whole service together, what we were talking about from the beginning to the end here. And it's written by Don Francisco. The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sounds of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell, and who or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there. But just what, I didn't know. John believed in miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight in the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. And the chorus is, he's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. Jesus is alive. That still makes all the difference for us today. All that Peter and the disciples could see for those few days was what good could ever come out of this. It was dark. It was as if the Savior had left them. Do we experience dark moments? Yes, we do. But we too can experience true inner peace, sweet peace, whatever the weight or hardship you are carrying. Come to Jesus and experience that peace, peace on the sea. Jesus' words once again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you died for us and that you have everything we need in life to change us and to bring us peace. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each one. You know the pain, the heartache, the struggles of each of us personally. We pray that you would just help us to bring it to you, surrender it to you, and we pray for peace. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. Thank you for how they make a difference in my life. Help us to make a difference in each other. Help us to be a witness to the community. Help us to love you. Pray you would bless the fellowship this afternoon. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.